Blog Talk Radio.
Many people regard you as a personification of Ubuntu. What do you understand Ubuntu to be?
In the old days, when we were young, a traveler through a country would stop at a village. And he didn't have to ask for food or for water. Once he stops, the people give him food, entertain him. That is one aspect of Ubuntu, but it will have various aspects. Ubuntu does not mean that people should not enrich themselves. The question, therefore, is, are you going to do so in order to enable the community around you to be able to improve? These are the important things in life. And if one can do that, you have done something very important which will be appreciated.
This is the Open Source Report on the 25th of October, 2015. Ime here. We try to do these reports as timely as we can. They do take a bit of research. Now, this particular report, we've actually been looking at it now for several weeks. The current stable kernel is 4.2.4. I believe we have 4.1 on one of our boxes from a current Slackware instance, and we put it on, and it has that particular kernel in it. Haven't checked to see what they have at this point in time, but we do advise people to upgrade their kernels from time to time. And we still need to do some compiling on that particular kernel. I believe a wireless driver needs to be compiled. This is at linux.com. We just go with some things here. Adobe Flash. Now, many people use Flash on Linux. There is a fix for this on Windows. We looked at a Windows 7 box around here. But anyway, nonetheless, the vulnerability has been identified in Flash 19.00207 for Linux. Now, I looked at the latest patch they have out here. This is for 64-bit versions. It's 11.2.202.54022015. So that is the latest update that they have out at this particular time from Adobe. The recommended way to do this is just uninstall a Flash from your system. Now, this is dated on the 15th. That particular bulletin came out roughly about 10 days ago. And you can check and see which version you have there. And it's a substantial exploitation that could cause a crash, potentially allow an attacker to take control of your system. So it appears they have made some type of a security update here. Trend Micro Research has discovered that the attackers behind the Pawn Storm using a new Flash Zero exploit in their latest campaign. Trend Micro Pawn Storm is a long-running cyber espionage campaign known for its high-profile targets and usage of the first Java Zero Day exploit there. So this is one of the things they discovered, and again, every version of Flash is affected by it. Until a fix is released, the only way to protect your computer is to completely uninstall Flash. unfortunately, we don't use Flash as much on the Linux distribution, so we do get around that somewhat here. I'm looking at Linux.com. We'll do a few of these from Linux.com. And this is one that we had looked at here. The ONSO project partners with the Linux Foundation, and we have this on the other screen. It's a collaborative project there, and we looked at it and where it was in terms of the newest application here. Open source software. Well, this is just a little blob here to build of their networks. Now, the networks are obviously being built, and they are being increasingly open sourced. A number of other things have happened here, and let me just get back. They've been around for quite a while here. Actually, this is open source network operating system is what OpenOS is, and the project has been moving along, and now they have partnered with the Open Source Foundation there to fully develop the open source potential there. So more and more the Open Internet Lab and various other collaborative tools here in terms of SDN. And SDN is becoming more and more popular, and also even the Microsoft version has started to adopt it, and you'll start seeing more and more of that appear on the Horizon software-defined networks. More and more of a thing approach. Let me just briefly give the definition here. Is an approach to computer networking that allows network administrators to manage network services through the extraction of high-level functionality. This is done by decoupling the system. This is from the Wikipedia, and from the underlying system, forwarding traffic to second destination, what's called data plane. And so that is the integrated digital service network. That we'll see more and more of that appearing as we move forward here. We found this in a tweet that came across several weeks back, and I'll go to the other system and update this as to where it is, but this is also from the Microsoft Cloud Azure, their adoption of some things here. Next Foundation is open source. Now this is, we use the Inquirer quite a bit out here. Next Frontier for Open Source Networking, that's the title here from the Inquirer. This is out of Australia, I believe. In addition, a very visible conference floor, the Inquirer managed to get some FaceTime with him. Now, this is the person that is in charge of Microsoft's particular... this is actually Jim Zinlin of the Linux Foundation here, but there is more and more of this coming up. I was looking at EBV blog, the appearance of more and more open source software around, so we're seeing a lot of that a demand that comes rewards. It presents opportunities, presents jobs, etc. Well, no doubt about that. The best way to learn is to participate in projects that shape the future. We agree there. Cloud Factory, you know, number of things that he names here, and the increased emphasis on security. Now, this is one of the things that we have started to emphasize more and more of the security aspects of Linux. And he compares Linux also here to Switzerland, points out because it's a unique position and initiatives are out there, so we will see more and more of that. Core Infrastructure Initiative, which goes out and looks for open source projects, and more of these open source. On one broadcast, we talked about the term open source as opposed to liberate or free, and now there are different situations of there. And you can find the Core Initiative homepage and various initiatives that are out there. Now, yes, there is ideological, a little different ideological situations involved, but at the same time, there are new things coming on board. You have all these companies here, Amazon, Bloomberg, Amazon Web Services, Dell, Facebook, etc., are all in this. These are some of the people that helped the Core Infrastructure Initiative, and they are going to this initiative way of doing it because of the economic imperative we see out there. And some of the people there, remember Alan Cox, he's a longtime Linux kernel developer. Remember him, he's from the UK, and a bunch of privacy experts here that are around just looking at their pictures here. We'll put a link up for this particular situation. Now let me go back and some of the other things that they are covering here. We'll get Android while we're here. We've been looking more and more at Android, the Internet of Things also. This is actually last year, a little barb here. Google was working on a version of Android that would serve as a vehicle, main infrastructure system, separated Android Auto, which runs on top of existing systems, and there are 13 mentions of Android Automotive within a document. This is at Technica there, and we'll see if we get a little bit more of this. This is an Android base in the infotainment system here. This is just out, actually, at The Verge, and we're getting the news as we go along here. This is the Android Automotive within the document, and the Android base infotainment system in cars. This is more the Internet of Things from manufacturers that use Google Maps as a backbone of their navigation system, and other products are there, Google Search, Google Play Music, without a need to even connect one's phone. Automobiles may not want to go deeper with Android in the dashboard when a company could soon be a serious competitor. But BMW's iDrive out there, and various other things are more and more coming about. And an Android compatibility definition released in, with the new version of Android. I think they're talking about a Marshmallow here, which it would be Android 6. Yeah, it is Marshmallow. And we got Marshmello into the broadcast, back door, I guess you'd say, here. And we won't go into a lot of the connectivity here, but there are some things that are coming up in the Android system with Marshmello, and Marshmello is the newest Android 6. This is released in October, on October 16th, by Google, and I guess this is really a good time to look at Marshmello and go over a bit of it, because it is in actuality a Linux type system out there, and we'll go to actually to we'll go to PC Advisor, maybe Android. This is in the UK, but it's basically all the same thing. This is Android M is coming out. They've had the developers release of it, and it'll be on what is it? Nexus 5, Nexus 6. And the question is here, when will you get a Marshmello? Well, various places you'll get it depending on what you are running. Now, this is LG's Galaxy phones, and Google, of course, has their phone out there, and it lists a long list of manufacturers that will be rolling out there in November, and they list Huawei and some other phones. Samsung site reports that Galaxy will get Marshmello upgrade to its Galaxy 6 phones. Older phones, cheaper and older smartphones from smaller manufacturers may never get the upgrade there. Probably not have to upgrade to something else, but on the 5th, only, 23.5% of Android devices were running a Lollipop and 28.9% KitKat. This leaves 37.6% running operating systems more than 2 years old. The one that we have, the Droid, it's more than 2 years old. If you're running a Lollipop now, you may well get an update to Android M. That's Marshmello there. And let's see, Android Milkshake or Marshmello 5.2. Some of the devices, I've noticed some of the cheaper devices out, tablets, are running Android 5.2. Now, Android 6 is coming out. We'll be looking more and more to see what is going on here. And the open source version of Android, they're also working on coming out with Marshmello. We were looking at that the other day and see where exactly where it is. But there are some updates there, like the fingerprint update, we call looking at it, and better graphics there. The voice technology now will be included in it, but on some phones, it will not be there. Android M also brings a panorama of smaller improvements. I'm just reading here. The improvements include easy access to voice action for the lock screen. Now, that will not be on some phones. And the apps will be improved. I looked at one phone. Lisa Patina has a new mode. What is it? The newest Mode M or whatever it is, one of the newer Mode phones she just got. And it has beautiful graphics on it. And I believe it has the camera on it is 24 something to that effect. Let me just. It's another review here on Android 6 Marshmello. It's polished and powered. And some of the pros. Now on Tap is handy and has great potential improved as voice commands. That's basically what she said. New permissions give users more control there. And the con, it'll be a while before everyone gets it. No doubt about that. In their particular review of it, here at this site, and we've looked at various ones. You can go, there are various sites that have it out, the touch sensors there, and as to where the phone is going. Our advice to people is that it's now out there, and if you wait for a few weeks, it'll be on most of the phones. Let me just move to another screen here very quickly, because we actually do this live, which in itself is perhaps not the best way to do something, but we'll do it anyway. Black Hat, incidentally, Europe is coming up in November, the 10th through the 13th. That'll be in the Netherlands in Amsterdam. Just one of the things we wanted to quickly cite here, and we've been saving up some of these for quite some time, but come through on the Twitter feed, and we start to collect these out here. And we'll just grab some of these and bring these up as we move along. But we've definitely been looking at some of the things. Come on, let me just get this. This is one thing we've been looking at for quite a while here. This dates back to September 22nd, but how engineers at West Virginia University caught a BMW. You heard about BMW cheating on emissions. It's diesel cars that were found to have cheated systematically on emission tests run by the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, for several years. The dirty trick allowed for a clean getaway for roughly 482,000 cars. EPA found out, BMW, of course, admitted that. Big scandal, still very much ongoing. Some people have mischaracterized our role. This is from Dale Cardier, interim director of West Virginia Center for Alternative Fuels, Engines, and Emissions. Some have used the phrase tipped off, but we are just working on the contract. In other words, they have a government contract. The contracting organization, a European nonprofit, had wanted to convince European regulators to emulate strict U.S. Standards for diesel admissions here. And they actually presented a paper back in 2014 at a public forum in San Diego. There are two vehicles we presented that we could present. The EPA people were in the audience, and meanwhile the sponsoring group, the International Council on Clean Transportation, published results online. So in other words, this information had been out there. The information was out there for more than a year, but the automobile press missed the significance. What's surprising to me, and this is Mr. Cardia talking here, the FBA, the EPA did not. It started testing with vigilance, going through all the necessary protocols before formally approaching BMW. And they did finally approach BMW, and as one would say, the rest is history. So it's a multi-billion dollar bill to refit its diesel cars to meet the standards. So now they will be meeting the standards. And this just shows that things that are many times out there that are missed. And then, of course, they are in the public domain for, in this case, for a few years. And then they become all of a sudden appear on the scene, and that tends to be basically the end. Let me just check this one security bulletin here. This is SC Magazine. We'll go to it. And more information here on Pawn Storm. Return of it. Let me just grab this article here. Is back in the news. This time the group was documented as targeting the Dutch Safety Board in its official work on the Malaysian plane. As reported on Tuesday, believes that the Advanced Persistent Threat group coordinated an attack from several sides in order to gain access to sensitive material. The investigation of Dutch Malaysian airliner there. So Pawn Storm simultaneously ramped up its efforts to attack Syrian opposition groups, area of a nation voicing objection against the Russian intervention, according to this. And back in the news here is Trent Micro, one of their vice presidents, Cabrera, said in an interview with SCMagazine.com, the group has pretty clear targets, especially considering prior attacks on a Polish and Ukrainian activist, according to this report here. Let me just grab some other things here off of the Twitter feed that we have been saving up for some time, actually. Yeah, here we go. This is the Internet of Things, and this is one of the things we're working on for a future presentation. This is to secure the Internet of Things and to build trust with customers, the way vendors approach manufacturing, distribution, and support in devices and solutions must change. That was a panel of National Cyber Security Alliance that was held at Wall Plains, the NASDAQ. Business models will have to change. We used to build them products, ship them, and forget about them until we have to service them. That was from John Ellis, founder and managing editor of Ellis & Associates. We moved to a new world order, he called it, a new world, where we have to ship and remember things. And there's a picture here of a wearable watch. That is in part because as devices become smaller and hackers become more creative and persistent, the realms of data collection pass around in cyberspace are at risk. In other words, many of these, especially wearables and other devices, they're constantly recording things. The legacy and dumber devices proved to be a big challenge for the industry, panelists noted, and they don't have the smarts of the newer peers. If you get an older heat pump with an unencrypted legacy protocol, you've got a real problem. That is from one of the security officers there. He's security chief, actually. Is Ed Morzer at AT&T. And do you really care what signal it is sending for the heat pump? Well, anyway, even if all devices on the Internet of Things were secure, that wouldn't solve our problems because they all communicate with each other, and that is a big problem there. And that was from the chief architect at Intel, who called data the currency of privacy and security on the Internet of Things. Even if we solve that, they degrade and need to be managed or monitored. Organizations, he said, need a reservoir of security knowledge to make things better. We'll be continuing to report on this. Users need to know they can trust their devices, appliances, and vendors. That was from, of all places, BlackBerry. And let's see, from PK Ware, there are not a lot of authentication on these devices, and that is one of the things that obviously have to be improved. And again, that is one of the things we'll be looking at here. From the Cyber Defense Magazine, are you still using True Encrypt? Beware of two critical flaws there. The popular security expert, James Forshaw, has discovered two critical flaws in the drivers that True Encrypt installs on, this is a Windows system. Bad news for Windows users have decided to use True Encrypt to encrypt their hard drives. The researcher, Mr. Forshaw, is a member of the Google Project Zero team. He has discovered those flaws despite the development of True Encrypt has been interrupted in, had been interrupted in May of 2014. By its developers, the application is still the most popular application for encrypting user data. The original office of True Encrypt warned users about the possible presence of unfixed security issues and invited them to switch to BitLocker, a full encryption system by Microsoft. It's critical to know that none of these previous audits had uncovered these flaws in a True Encrypt application. Two distant phase. In the first phase, experts analyzed the blueprint of the software and discovered only 11 issues of medium and low security. We'll put a link up on this particular one here. The experts discovered four different vulnerabilities. File key mixing is not encrypted. Sound is less low there. But the high one is True Encrypt acquired context may be solidly fall in unusual scenarios. AES implementation susceptible to cache timing attacks. That is one of the bigger ones there. Forshaw explains that attacks can exploit the attackers, the vulnerability to obtain elevated privileges on the system and then have access to a limited user account. So this is from True Encrypt, one of those things that we wanted to bring out here as we, as they say, move merely along and see if, wait a minute, just a second here. This is from CIO Magazine. We talked about Windows 10 before. The article here is, did Microsoft shove Windows 10 down the throats of people? Lack of security in small companies means big risk to the enterprise because attackers who compromise small concerns in the federated enterprise do so in order to hack larger companies. Microsoft is helping. The question is who they are helping. Microsoft taunts Windows 10 security enhancements. Small business enterprises see another side to 10. And this is a reason not to deploy 10. We have it on a box. The side where Microsoft loads its new OS through the automatic updates. Most people don't know that. Onto PCs with 7 and 8.1. In most enterprise operations, medium-sized businesses, the Microsoft updater is disconnected. CSO details the results of Microsoft's misstep, including correct files, performance issues that make small business PCs vulnerable, which it could make any large enterprise they serve vulnerable to. Recommended, hopefully, to reverse control to the entities. If you already have 10 on your system, Microsoft is pushing out 10 to individual computers. That is to say, unmanaged home and even small business systems running 7 and 8 in its automatic update situation. ESET researches as of this date a number of new reports from various media outlets, including IDG's own Computer World, posting comments across the internet on the threat in technical forums and FUB articles. We've been looking at this. I have Windows 10 updates pushed to OEM Windows 7. Now, OEM Windows, what that basically means is people buy these on machines and it's supported by the reseller and not by Microsoft. And the icon tray Windows and a folder is established as created on 7 and 8. The dollar sign Windows and BT Source partner has been set up action log there, and some of the things that's happening there, and you can look on your system. When these updates do load, the first small organization may hear about it is after the create security and performance issues. Large companies have processes in place to manage updates that small companies don't, and it's managed by the IT. More than one user reported receiving updates as a Windows standalone installer labeled as required by your computer and cannot be uninstalled which downloads that. A national rental company with 400 PCs across the company was experiencing significant, this is a case study that turned into a real study, performance degradation on their systems. We traced the problem to the auto updates on all the PCs, which downloaded individual instances of Windows 10 there, and the network support. People continued to express that they may have finding Windows 10 on their computers in a threat form, that is 7form.com. people reported issues such as receiving Windows 10 on systems that did not have the resources even to support it. Windows 10 will run just about on any system. Oh well. Others complained about corrupt files. Now that is usually one of the big problems. Microsoft's own file system checker could not fix, only to find that the updates of Windows 10 was in were the cause. And again, with the smaller companies here, if you go to the 7 form, you can isolate some of those updates by the numbers. A list of the suspected updates, 29, 5, 2, 6, 6, 4, and so forth and so on. You can look for the information listed in the knowledge base. Further, I found that when I removed and hid those updates, I also needed to examine new updates. And that's one of the things you have to do with Windows. Go through your updates there and find out exactly what is going on. Response from Microsoft is mixed depending on whose reports you read and what you believe. Some news feature pictures of software giants, apocalyptic is about its secret Windows 10 upgrade. So watch out for Windows 10 if you have Windows 7 or Windows 8. It could literally creep into your system without you literally knowing what is going on. I posted that up on Reddit, to find out exactly where they are. Let me just take one more look here at the Linux user, a daily. We use it sometimes. What has happened to it? It has morphed into many things besides just, say, Linux. And so we have many, many different kinds of reports in it out there. And let's see. All things open. Just these little articles here. This is from the opensource.com. We use them in these reports. This is a collection of speakers interviewed. This is back to All Things Open Conference. Actually, a very recent conference that was held on open source, open tech. And besides software, incidentally, there is open source hardware out there, and a lot of open source hardware out. This conference is, of course, now open. It was down in North Carolina. But it does mean that people are getting around. Red Hat was there. Citrix is there, who is trying to sell themselves off. Just looking at some of the companies that showed up. And, of course, Red Hat being in that particular triangle park. Facebook was there. And so, in other words, you had a lot of people. Women in Open Source was a panel that they also had there. We'll spend more time talking about that, and even including, and you'll see more and more of this coming in, open data and government for anyone working with open data and government space. There, hardware, the most popular open hardware also being available. Let me just spend just a few remaining seconds. We'll do some editing on this that we run over. But we'll we were hoping to get to some of the panels here, but I maybe will not. This is at the Course Convention Center down there. What we wanted to get to here was the hardware part of it. I guess we're not going to be able to find that. We'll have to do it in a different report where we can get back to some of the things that were really happening and would be of interest to the audience. And as usual, things are just all over the place here in these particular things. We'll have to go to YouTube and sort this out. The OpenStack movement, which is obviously coming more and more up here, the open source way, and of course various people living in open source life, interesting title there. Some of the things happening out there. Also, OpenStack is gaining more and more momentum as it moves along. And we'll have to get more information on OpenStack and some of the things that OpenStack is doing. Let me just check our time here, which we need to go to a different box to see where we are in terms of our time. Well, we're running out of time. Nonetheless, this will do it for this open source report on the 25th of October, 2015, MA here at Cranston. We'll have more information as we roll along. And our desire is to make these reports about bi-monthly, every 2 weeks, preferably every week, here on our WBRN network.